The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. The Champions League back today, and boy, did it spring a surprise. Later on in the show, we'll reflect on Lyon knocking Juventus out of the competition. But we'll start in England. Manchester City taking on Real Madrid. City, remember, with that lead going into this second leg. But in the end, it was all down to one man. And unfortunately for Real Madrid, it was one of their own. Rafael Varane having an absolute shocker. He was the reason Real Madrid are out. His two mistakes leading to City's two goals. After the match, he said, "The defeat is mine." But you expect so much better, don't you, Ali, from a World Cup winner?
You do, and the questions coming into this match, given the absence of Sergio Ramos, is, well, how good was Eder Militao going to be? Was it going to be a problem that Eder Militao was indeed in this position? We were not expecting Rafael Varane to have these issues. Had it been Militao, then it would have been very easy for all of us to say, hey, well, there you go. It's obvious. The problem is Sergio Ramos is not there. The guy that comes in doesn't do the job. Well, Militao did his job, but Varane did not. And I think it feeds into the idea that Varane is a subtle defender that as long as he doesn't have to think about the game, as long as he just worries about covering the guy who's in front of him, he uses that athleticism and that ability to just kind of cover spaces because he has that speed. But he doesn't have to provide the leadership. He doesn't have to be the guy that tells Militao where to go, because he's very comfortable being told where to go as he gets that information usually from Sergio Ramos. Today, Varane's role was more of being the leader, being the guy with the experience. Militao was going to lean on Varane, and yet it was Varane making the mistakes. And it's just inexcusable at this level. And for a guy who has achieved so much in his career, it was just an awful game that kept getting worse and worse as he went on.
Well, this is it, Don, isn't it? You make that mistake early on, and obviously what you do try then to make up for it. And then that header back that was never going to get to Courtois. A very bad day to have your worst ever game in a Real Madrid shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've all had them, Dan. We've all had nightmare games, and this was Varane's nightmare game. It just got from bad to worse when he made the error in the first half, and it was very costly. I mean, his positional sense was awful. He took a bad touch. The ball actually should have went across his body. Then he should have played it down the line. He tried to take a little touch inside, and Jesus nicked the ball off him. That was mistake number one. And then from then on, you could just see a guy that's 6'2", 6'3", and a powerfully built lad crumble in his self-confidence. You know, the ball from Rodri over the top in the second half was just a long ball down in the channel. And then you've seen him panic because he made the initial error, and then instead of trying to be calm, he made another error on top of that. He should never have been trying to pass back to his goalkeeper. And these are the decisions you have to make when you're not playing well and you haven't got your leader, as Ali said, alongside you. You then have to step up. He's never going to be a leader. He's not that type of character. He's a fine player in his own right when he doesn't have to think about, like Ali said, you know, he's one of the quickest centre-halves out there in world football. But when he has to make decisions, that's not his bag. It's unfortunately for Rafael Varane, the ball is not his friend. You know, he's the type of defender that should just clear his lines and don't even think about trying to play it from the back because it's very costly. It doesn't suit him.
Shaka, normally it's goalkeepers that are under the microscope for these sort of errors. Obviously, Varane very much taking all the attention away today. But over the two legs, Manchester City deserving to go through.
Yeah, certainly when the first leg was played, I didn't have much doubt that I thought City were the better of the two teams and would probably go through over the two legs. But then the break, and then you saw some inconsistency from City once the restart, and you saw a consistency from Real Madrid that we hadn't seen back in the early part of March, back end of December. And all of a sudden, I thought momentum had shifted to Real, and you thought that they could come into Manchester and get the job done. And the truth is, over the course of 90 minutes, I thought Real Madrid did enough to win this game. Benzema had some chances that on another day he would have taken. And that's taking nothing away from how good his finish was to make the score 1-1. But all in all, it was decided by two goals that came on the back of two errors from Varane. Yes, Courtois was called into some action, but I thought Edison was probably the busier, goals apart, of the two goalkeepers. When you're playing at this level, when you're playing against a team like Manchester City, you cannot make the kinds of errors that Varane made and hope to get away from it. Unfortunately, Real Madrid as a team suffered at the hands of the errors of an individual.
Ali, what's wrong with Eden Hazard? Well, as much as we're going to talk about Varane and he'll get the headlines, Hazard again, just nothing.
Yeah, and yesterday when we were previewing the match, we highlighted Eden Hazard as a guy who needed to have a huge performance if Real Madrid was going to go into Manchester and score a couple of goals and win the game. Because you sort of know what you're going to get from Karim Benzema, who again was very good today. But you need somebody else to provide a balance, to provide another threat. So if, in fact, you get the best of Eden Hazard, then Karim Benzema, you would assume, would have more space or would have more freedom to do the things that he does best inside the 18-yard box. But because there is very little coming from Eden Hazard, then a lot easier to zero in Karim Benzema. And even then, he still has some opportunities. But going back to Eden Hazard, once again, this is no different than what we have seen from him pre-pandemic, yep, post-pandemic, pre-shutdown, post-shutdown. Whatever you think is wrong with him, whether it's fitness, whether it's emotionally, whether psychologically he's not quite there, or if it's a combination of them all I can tell you is that this is not even the shadow of the player that we have seen with Chelsea in the past, that we have seen with Belgium in the past. Tentative with the ball at his feet. He has a couple of moments in the game in which you think, oh, maybe he's going to have an impact. And then he just kind of disappears. The light just goes off. And you just cannot have that happen for a guy who you know you're going to lean on. Remember who Eden Hazard is taking the place on in this team, whether it was a year later or not. It's Cristiano Ronaldo. And whether he wants to acknowledge that or not, who knows? And who cares? But the truth is that he's taking that position, and he's not given anywhere near that productivity or anywhere near the impact that Real Madrid needs out of that position.
These are the sort of games you want your stars to rise in, and he didn't at all, Don, and he hasn't all season. He's been a big bust so far.
Well, he has, but, I mean, he did have a horrific injury that he had to deal with. What I would say is if I was going to give Eden Hazard any sort of out, I thought Kyle Walker, who played against him, was tremendous. I thought one of his best games in a City shirt. But you expect a lot more. Even when the ball's at his feet, he didn't look sharp. He had a good little spell first 10, 15 minutes with a lot of the ball. Maybe playing on the left-hand side didn't really suit him. Maybe Zidane might try and use him as a number 10 because he doesn't seem to want to stay there. And if it's not coming off for him, he's not really got any wriggle room to try and affect the game. You can easily mark someone like him at the game if you've got someone like Kyle Walker playing against you. But I think you're right. I think we have to give Eden Hazard a little bit of time. I don't think we can criticise him too much. I think because of the injury that he's had, I think it's very unfair to, you know, shift everything onto him tonight. Yes, we're looking at, you know, the star players you want them to shine, but I thought there was far more players playing for Man City that shone more than Real Madrid players.
Well, it's interesting Don brings up Manchester City, Shaq. I didn't think they were that good today either. There were errors there as well. They weren't very good in front of goal. Raheem Sterling, I think, could have scored more. This was nowhere near their best performance.
No, it wasn't. As poor as Real Madrid were at the back, I don't feel City did an incredible amount in terms of really putting them under pressure. And yes, as I mentioned before, Courtois had to make a couple of saves. But it's not, and to be fair, it hasn't been the City we've come to expect ever since the restart. At times they've been brilliant, at times they've been poor, and at times it seems like as though they've struggled for ideas. And that's what you saw today. As quickly as they move the ball and threaten to look like their former selves, I thought Real Madrid were equal to it and frustrated City for long spells. Maybe you could say the fact that they got the goals means that they now don't have to take some of the chances. They can sit back and make sure and keep things tight at the back. But all in all, I don't think they were at their brilliant best.
City were winning today.
The game that I watched, I thought at times the game was too easy for Man City. I thought when they had it in the first half, I was expecting a lot more from Real Madrid, and I'm pretty sure the Man City players were as well. And the game become too easy. I mean, I remember Raheem Sterling getting in with a jinky little run and he lost his balance. I remember Gundogan having an absolute tap-in, I think, in the second half, and he played a little ball to Raheem Sterling that was over it. At times, Man City thought this was too easy and they were just trying to walk the ball in the back of the net.
But that's got to be an issue because that's not the first time we've seen that from Manchester City, Don. No, they should have been home and hosed, really. Real Madrid weren't good today. Benzema was the only one who really stood up and did anything. Yet, in the end, Real Madrid still had that chance until, of course, Gabriel Jesus scored. And then if Real Madrid had got a couple more, then we could have a different story. But the thing is, if I'm going forward as a Manchester City fan, I'm concerned that they are not as convincing as I want them to be in front of goal.
I think that's a fair comment. And I think if you ask Pep, he always leans on that side, doesn't he? When you ever ask him when his team have not walloped someone or they've lost the game, he never says, oh, the defenders made individual mistakes or the defenders played poorly. He'll always say, we didn't score enough goals. We create so many chances, we're not scoring enough goals. And that's great. You know, if you're a City fan, if you're a City player and the manager is criticising your front men, it's a nice problem to have. I understand that when they are deep into the competition, they come up against the very best sides. I totally understand it. You have to be ruthless because one goal might just be enough. But the way Man City play and the game that I watched tonight, especially in the first 45 minutes, I was actually watching the game thinking Man City are coasting here.
Thank you very much, gents. So just a reminder, the latest edition of Extra Time available now over on YouTube. Shaka and Gab answering your tweets.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, despite a 2-1 victory over Lyon, Juventus are out, going out on the away goal rule. We're finishing 2-2 on aggregate. Don is still with us. Frank Leboeuf and Gab Marcotti to discuss what went wrong for Juve. Gab, let's start with you. This isn't good.
No, not good at all. Look, I mean, obviously screwed it up in the first leg. They went into the second leg without Paulo Dybala. Clearly not fully fit, and as we saw that later, he played with a muscular injury and then of course had to come off again. Then they go a goal down. Look, they had their shots on goal. You had two dubious penalties either side, but I think at no point did they look like the team that they are supposed to be. And I thought Lyon set up very intelligently, dominated the midfield with a very young midfield, and fully deserved to go through over 180 minutes.
Where did it go wrong today in particular for Juve, Don? Or was it harsh given that they won the game?
No, it went wrong badly. And I think it's been a story of Juve season this season, Dan. I think that they look old. They look very slow. And that's credit to Lyon, where, you know, they had a young, energetic midfield and they stopped the likes of Pjanic from playing. But I think the manager has to take some responsibility for this, Mauricio Sarri, because, you know, I said last night with Frank that when you watch Juve, it seems to be substance over style. You don't feel as though you're getting value for money when you watch Juve. It's a bit of a grind, but the substance is not there. Yes, they won the Scudetto, but, you know, he was brought in alongside Ronaldo, who, by the way, he's upheld his part of the bargain big time. And Sarri's now got a struggle on to even keep his job because, you know, watching Juve this season, they haven't been a good watch. They haven't been an entertaining side at all. There's been far many sides, even though they won the league, a better watch than what they have been this season, Juve.
Frank, Frank, it was all about the Champions League this year, wasn't it, for Juventus? Yet they go out miserably.
Yes, I would say that, because I remind everybody that Lyon only played one official game, and we saw that some players, like for example Depay, after an hour were struggling, you know, physically, but they stuck together. But it wasn't that difficult, I would say. And as Don mentioned yesterday, and it just said that now Juventus didn't change with Sarri, still has the same style, don't run enough, and if they don't have Ronaldo, I would say it's an average team. I mean, a good team, but an average team. And it's only that special guy who can make something special. But it's not what we used to see with Juventus, like a machine, like fantastic mentality to go forward and to win games. We didn't see that in the two legs. And as Gabby said, I think Lyon deserved to go through.
How much trouble is Sarri in, Gab?
Well, look, he was asked about it after the game. He was asked about his future. Never an easy thing to do. And, you know, and he said, well, you know, it's offensive to suggest that the owners are going to make a decision or the board's going to make a decision on the basis of one game. It's offensive to them. But, I mean, I think he also lives in the real world. No, it's not just on the basis of this. It's on the basis of everything that happened this season. Sarri is not the only one responsible here. He was not given a team that suits what he wants to do. It was an odd decision to begin with. The signings weren't great, and they were the wrong types of signings. But you know, in the end, it's a lot easier to sack one guy than it is to get rid of a bunch of players, or indeed perhaps sack some of the people above him who made these decisions. So my hunch is, I think it's extremely unlikely that he's going to be back next season.
Do the fans want him out, Gab?
Oh, I mean, I think 90% of the fans. You know, it's interesting what Don said before about, you know, there not being any style and Juventus not being a good watch. 99.9% of Juventus fans genuinely do not care about being entertaining. They simply care about winning. Winning is their entertainment. But the problem is, you know, this team doesn't attack with substance. That they don't have that solidity, that swagger where they could happily defend for 88 minutes and then score on the break that they did with Allegri. They don't look good defensively. And going forward, it's still a bunch of individuals trying to invent something out of nothing. And, you know, just Cristiano Ronaldo's goal was the epitome of that. You know, you can do that at a certain level, but you're never going to grow and progress as a team. That they brought Sarri in to do specifically that, and it simply didn't happen for them this year.
Could Allegri go back?
I don't know. I mean, in some ways, it would make, actually, I think, a lot of sense. There's reports that says that suggest that, you know, he's done with Juve, but then there's other reports that say, you know, he looks around Europe, he only wanted to take 1 year sabbatical, and there aren't that many top jobs open. You know, you can wait to see if Tuchel gets sacked or not and maybe delve into Paris Saint-Germain. But other than that, there's not going to be that many other options. So I personally wouldn't rule it out completely. I mean, we'll see how the situation develops in the coming weeks. But remember, there isn't that long to go because we're in mid-August and the new season, you know, starts in a little more than a month.
Well, Lyon going through then on the away goal rule, was that penalty a pen, Don?
No, both penalties weren't pens, but the first one was ridiculous. It was a shambles of a penalty. And how the referee gave that, because when you actually see the referee's angle of it, there must have been seven or eight players blocking his view. So he's totally guessed and he's got it badly wrong, which then gives Juve a massive mountain to climb. And then the free kick from Pjanic wasn't a penalty neither. So I think the referee tonight had a really bad game, but the first one was a shocker, and I think that's what put Juve on the back foot.
Well, of course, because it meant that Juve then had to get three. Frank, do you agree? No pen?
Well, it's more for me the second one is a shocker, because, I mean, Depay is in the wall, doesn't move. He moves his hands, but after having touched the ball, so it's too late, and his arm is close to his body, so it's obviously not a pen. On the first one, yeah, at first thought, they said no pen for me. The tackle from, I think it was Bentancur, is correct, but it's a trip. Bernardeschi trips Aouar, and if you consider it's a foul, has to be a penalty. If even if it's not compulsory, if he didn't do on purpose, it touches Aouar. So what would happen if he wouldn't touch him? Do you think Aouar would have scored? I don't know, but there is a question mark there.
Gab?
Yeah, I mean, I think what happened on the first one is he gave the penalty because of the Bentancourt tackle. He had no idea about the contact between Bernardeschi and Aouar. And then it went to VAR, and they're like, there's definitely not Bentancourt here. He gets the ball cleanly. But there is a slight touch between, you know, the outside of Bernardeschi's calf and Aouar, and then Aouar then, you know, goes forward and trips over his own feet. Maybe is that what you were looking at? And he's probably like, oh yeah, yeah, that was it, that was it. I mean, I'm with Don. Neither one is a penalty.
Don Frank says you're wrong.
Frank's wrong. Gav's right, I'm right, and Frank's wrong.
Well, I didn't say that you were wrong. I said there would be a question mark. But I'm with you guys, both of you, at first thought. And when I even called Julian and said, well, Julian, what do you think about that? He was in Italy. He said, is there a penalty? He said, no, but it's true that Bernardeschi touched him and he tripped him. I say, well, do you consider it as a penalty? He said, well, I don't know. I say, okay, I'm going to call Don and Gabby. Okay, no penalty.
Did you really call Jules? You didn't really call Jules, did you, Frank?
I did call.
Why?
I called
Julian. Why will Julian know more than you? You've seen it on your TV screen.
Because one of our producers said that Julian said it's no penalty. So I called him and said, are you blind or what? Bernardeschi touches Aouar. So he said, yeah, you're right. But I don't know if an indirect free kick is still alive in the football rules. I said, I don't have a clue about that. But that's the fact that Bernardeschi touched Aouar. And there is a foul then. So if my two colleagues decide it's no penalty, okay, I go for it. But in Italy, we could see like thousands of penalty because of that same action.
Gab, Ronaldo, of course, with the brace, a great goal for him, scoring the penalty as well. What next for him?
Well, look, I mean, what next is he's got 2 years left in his contract. He's coming off a tremendous season, a really good season where, you know, he was often very good in games that mattered. I think he and Dybala were really the only bright spots for Juve, possibly along with Chesney and the whole team. So I think he's going to stick around. I don't buy these stories, these French fantasies of him going to Paris Saint-Germain. If it was going to happen, it was going to happen a few years ago. He'll be back next season. And look, at the very least, I would expect in the next 48 hours, Andrea Agnelli and Paratic and Nedved, when they're deciding what to do with Sarri, they get on the phone with Cristiano and they say, hey, Cristiano, what do you think? How can we? We're going to be spending, what, $170 million over the next 2 years in amortization and wages to have you here. What do you need to be at your best to make sure that money is well spent? And I would listen to what the man has to say.
Well, a time machine would be a good start, wouldn't it? Because he's getting older and older, Gav. Aren't Juve here hanging their hat on the wrong person?
Well, Sarri's older than Cristiano Ronaldo, for what that's worth. Yeah, look, he's getting older. They knew how old he was going to be at this stage of his career when they signed him. They decided to go and spend this enormous amount of money on him and wages. And I think he's generally held up his end of the bargain. You know, he's been good. He's not the issue here. The issue is that he's completely unsuited to playing the type of football that Maurizio Sarri wanted to play, that you need to put certain people around him and you need to play in a certain way. And that's not what Sarri does. And when he tried to do it this year, he didn't do it well. So because this isn't the NFL, because contracts are guaranteed, you can't simply cut Cristiano and say, oh, let's go and save on his wages. You can't sell him anywhere else. It's very difficult to do. So you're better off getting somebody who can help you continue to get the best out of Cristiano and have the rest of the team support him and be effective.
It's difficult.
And that man's probably not Sarri.
It's difficult though, Don, isn't it? To kind of, if I'm from a Juve perspective, to look ahead to next season and say, right, yeah, we're going to regroup and go again and really give the Champions League a good go, because you just don't feel that they have the squad to do that.
No, and that's where I think investment is key for them. They tried to do it on the cheap, didn't they, last year when they brought Rabiot in and Aaron Ramsey, and that never worked. Both of them haven't really succeeded, in my opinion. So the biggest thing I get when I watch Juve is they are a slow side. Apart from Alexandro at left back, there's no real genuine pace apart from Douglas Costa, but he's had his injury problems, and I'm not sure Sarri actually fancies him. I don't know why he doesn't fancy Blaise Matuidi as well in the middle of midfield. I know his age might be something that Sarri's looking at, but he can still get around the pitch. And when I watch them, and that's what we were saying before, when you say that there's no style there, there's a bit of substance. But if the players are not playing well and the intricate passing's not going well, they're not a side that can move you around the pitch with players running in behind and wingers who get 1v1 and can beat fullbacks with a bit of pace and direct runners from midfield. Everything's just a little bit pedestrian and a little bit slow, which then if you come up against a side like Lyon and the very best sides, they can be dogged, they can stay in their shape, and then Juve can't really break them down.
Finally, we've got to give a word to Lyon, Frank.
Yes, please. Because, I mean, yesterday I talked about a miracle, but it wasn't a miracle because of the performance of Juve as well. But it's a feat for them because, since 2010, where they put out Real Madrid from the competition, nothing happened to Lyon. But they did well. They, of course, did a fantastic game in the first leg. And they've been serious. They scored a lucky penalty, according to my two friends tonight. But they've been serious otherwise. They had other chances to score. They defended very well. I was very pleased with Marcelo's work tonight. And there's nothing much to say. The midfield zone was absolutely fantastic, even if they are very young. They showed maturity. And I'm pleased for them. Of course, it would be a miracle to see Lyon winning the Champions League. It's tonight only a feat, and it's already big for them because it's been such a long time we didn't see Lyon in that position.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Next up for Lyon, of course, at Manchester City. Just a reminder, if you ever miss a show, you can download our daily podcast, which is available over on the website. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And it is then Orlando City who advanced to the final to take on the Portland Timbers.
For more reflections then on last night, we welcome in Hercules Gomez to the show. Herc, it was the nanny show.
It really was. The Mickey Mouse Cup, that has a nice ring to it. It really was the nanny show. Adrian Heath said it. They got beat over the top, a 70-yard dime by Jansen. But you got to give Nani some credit here. You can't just say that can't happen and not talk about the unbelievable ball, the unbelievable reception, the experience to get his body into Dotson and body him out of the way. And then in two touches, really, a toe poke finish a la Romario to beat Tyler Miller. You have to give credit where it's due. Orlando City is a very good team. It's a night and day situation of what was this franchise since its inception. Oscar Pareja has changed everything. Nani is a big reason. Listen, their last 50 goals, he's been directly involved in 28 of those goals. This speaks to the volume that is his presence on the field. He not always comes up. He not always shows up in these moments. And what I mean by that is if you watch Orlando play, Nani doesn't see a lot of the ball. But when he does see the ball, things happen. He's made Chris Mueller such a much better player. I always had Chris Mueller high on my list as potential future U.S. men's national team players. But alongside Nani, alongside Ruan on that right-hand side, with Pereira sitting underneath, they're a very, very entertaining team to watch. And Nani, you said it was his show last night. I mean, he really didn't do that much. And you have to really take a step back. He didn't really do that much because he wasn't involved in a lot. But when he was involved, he was involved in everything, if that makes sense.
Not really, but that's nothing new with you, Herc. Are you surprised how much of an impact he's had, Herc? Because when he was signed, there wasn't really the same excitement there was, certainly, for example, when Kaká was announced. Obviously, a completely different level player, but still, Nani, a quality player, an impressive CV. But it was that kind of thought that he's just coming here for the paycheck.
Yeah, I'm very much surprised, because you can name out all the big players and big expectations we've had in Major League Soccer. The Kakas, the Pirlos, the Lampards, the Gerrards, the Zlatans, and some of those guys did deliver. He didn't have that shine on him coming in. Not many people expected much out of him. And what Oscar Pareja is saying about how contagious it is, it's a reality. And I'm going to use Carlos Vela as an example. Carlos Vela is the face of the franchise. But in LA, in that club, LAFC, when the younger lads, when another teammate sees Carlos Vela being the first guy not to take a playoff, being the first guy to have humility, the first guy to want to be there, to want to achieve greatness, to hold others accountable, that is contagious. When you see your leader, when you see a player who's been there, done that, play at the highest of levels for his club and country, and he's in MLS, and he's in Orlando, and he's in the dog days of summer, he's in 100-degree weather with 90-something percent humidity, and he's going on a game every 3 days, tired legs. In the later stages of his career, when he's got that type of attitude about him, that type of aura, you buy in. He's completely changed the way we think about Orlando. He's changed the way I think about designated players coming into this league and how they should be held accountable, because he's really breaking the mold in these type of things. He didn't have the hoopla. He didn't have the shine. But now he's getting the credit.
Hercules Gomez, as always, thank you very much. Just a reminder, that final between Nani's Orlando City and Portland Timbers live on ESPN, Tuesday, 8:30 Eastern.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
So two more matches and then we'll have the quarterfinals set. It's Barcelona against Napoli at the Camp Nou. That one finally poised, one apiece going into that clash in Catalonia. Meanwhile, Bayern Munich against Chelsea. Bayern in complete control of that tie. 3-0 their lead. Chelsea need a miracle if they're going to book a place in the quarterfinals. We'll be looking back at both of those matches on the next edition of the show. Be sure to join us. Quarterfinals over the Champions League looking hot, aren't they, this year? Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to Ali, to Don, to Frank, and to Gavin Shacker. You want more of them? Well, they will be on Extra Time as they'll be answering some of your tweets next. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Shacker and Gab with us. Gab looking much better than he did in the show. Technical situations have been some issues today. But fear not, our day wasn't as bad as Rafael Varane. And that's the first question. Was that Varane or was it David Luiz, Gab?
Look, that's a bit harsh. Listen, great, even great players have absolute stinkers of games. And if you're going to make two colossal blunders, might as well make them both in the same game when you've already lost the first leg, rather than have them spread out and have them cost you two games, right?
Oh, my God. That's good. So you was aging. That was good spin.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pure math and probability, right?
If Stevie was on, I would say to him, well, this proves how key Sergio Ramos is and what a world-class defender is. And Stevie's response said, well, if he's such a world-class defender, why did he get sent off in the first leg and suspended for this game? See, don't need him here. We can just have a conversation with myself. How can Shaka complain about the heat having grown up in the Caribbean?
Yeah, it's hot in the Caribbean as well. I sweat in the Caribbean too.
Do you just sweat everywhere?
If anybody was... You sweat when you're in the Caribbean, that doesn't change.
Do you complain
it's
as
hot.
Much? No.
It's hot here.
Should Real Madrid...
I'm on TV when I'm in the Caribbean.
Gab, we talked about this on the show. Should Real Madrid be worried about Hazard? He was poor today, no spark, no drive, just nothing from him.
Yeah, you almost wonder if it might have something to do with the fact that, you know, he's had two big injuries this season. Hasn't quite settled into the side. There was a global pandemic along the way, so he didn't play football for 2 months. And then, you know, you get this long break at the end of La Liga season. I mean, I think it's as simple as that. Eden Hazard is a phenomenal player who still has not found his place at Real Madrid. Hasn't yet established himself. He was poor tonight. I will give you that. But let's judge him after next season, shall we?
Why are we so harsh on Gavin Antoine Griezmann?
Why are we harsh on Antoine Griezmann?
Well, I feel like we're very critical of Antoine Griezmann and his performance since he's moved to Barcelona, yet Hazard gets more of a pass.
So, first of all, Antoine Griezmann has played in La Liga for many, 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 many years. And so it's not like you have to get used to playing, moving to a different country, learning a different language. Secondly, Antoine Griezmann hasn't had two major injuries the way Eden Hazard has. And he hasn't played well. But, I mean, Hazard's had his moments this season. But I just don't get the Griezmann-Hazard parallel. I don't see what the two have in common other than the position they play
on the
pitch. Well,
they've both been flops this season.
They play for big
Spanish
clubs.
That's what they have in common. They've both been flops, Gab.
Didn't let me ask Dan. Didn't?
Yeah, but one guy's been injured. The other one hasn't.
So, go on, Shaq.
Oh, I was asking there before Gab got so angry. Didn't Griezmann have a full preseason and Hazard not?
Didn't Hazard eat?
That counts.
Didn't he eat during most of his preseason? That was the issue, wasn't it?
You see, Lou. No.
What?
Hazard was.
He admitted he came back overweight, didn't he?
And didn't have a full preseason.
And then all the talk was, oh, he's back.
He didn't have a full preseason of training. That's all. That's what I'm getting at. You need that, especially when you've eaten a lot pre-season.
Gab, do you expect Gattuso's men to once again park the bus against Barcelona, which is quite unusual for a possession-heavy team like Napoli?
It's a good question. I don't quite know how you go and you approach this. I mean, given the way Barcelona have played and given the way the end of the season, you know, given all that's going on, I might have thought, and given also, of course, you're a goal down, so you absolutely have to score or you're going out. I would have thought that maybe you go out there and try to surprise them a little, try to be a little bit more proactive, you know, get Fabian Ruiz and Demme to go and try to control that midfield. Look, the thing about Barcelona is it's extremely unlikely that they're going to go and burn you on the break, because it's not like they've got speedsters up front. They have Luis Suarez and Lionel Messi, who are close to 70 years old between them. So I would see nothing wrong with trying to go for the jugular, trying to perhaps press them a little bit higher. And if they play through you, they play through you, so be it. See if Koulibaly can deal with them at the other end. But I think to sit back and hope for something on the break, I don't know. I don't think that's the right approach.
Is Gareth Bale and Mesut Ozil's situation good for football, Shaq? What kind of impression it leaves the youngsters when they see professional players behaving the way that they have?
Well, the short answer to that is no. It's not good for football, and certainly no example to anybody coming through. But at the same time, as a player, you recognize that your career is short. You're no more than an asset to these clubs, even though they like to see you're so much more and throw loyalty into the equation when it suits them. But the fact of the matter is, you're a little more than a piece of meat. And so you have every right to make as much as you possibly can during your times there. At the same time, I don't like to see what has happened to both those players and the fact that they're now viewed as little more than mercenaries. That part I also don't accept.
Also, I'm sorry, I get why people would be annoyed with Gareth Bale with pretending to fall asleep on the bench and the team photo and the mask over his head and all the other nonsense at the end, but I kind of wonder, what has Mesut Ozil done that's been so bad other than not be as good as his salary? Because when the manager changed under Arteta, he had a whole bunch of playing time. He started a whole bunch of games. Then the pandemic comes, everything stops, and then we don't see him again after the restart. But what horrible things has Mesut Ozil done?
I don't have an answer to that, Gab. Shaka, do you?
No.
Here we are then. A poignant note then to end extra time. Thank you as always for your tweets. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.